Video game voice and performance actors are now on strike, but it's not affecting the entire industry yet. Plus, an indie publishing studio laid off all of their employees and says nothing will change. Tonight is July 28th, 2024, and the Bobby Blackwolf Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is Edwin Akeriper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game. I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Holy heaps of hogwash, Batman. That's what pod culture says. Watched a little bit too much Comic-Con there. San Diego Comic-Con going on this weekend. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a not Comic-Con edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on this Sunday evening, thank you so much. Welcome. We do tape this show live just about each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us and interact with the show directly. But this is a podcast, and I do understand that people listen to us on the podcast feed. You can go over to our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord, and you can hear people talk about things that were announced at Comic-Con and things that were announced at other conventions, or just, you know, talk about stuff that you want to talk about in the gaming industry. And I understand Comic-Con had a heck of an announcement, according to pod culture, with Dr. Doom. And here's what I'm going to say. Is that there's kind of an old parlance, I guess, in pro wrestling, in wrestling, which I don't watch anymore, but I used to, so I really shouldn't, like, knock it but or anything. But if you have to replace the main event, you need to replace the main event with something even better. And that's kind of what Marvel has had to do with Doctor Doom, because Kang and Jonathan Majors are not going to be happening anymore, or at least Jonathan Majors is not happening anymore. So they needed to kind of bring someone in that was doing better than that. And also, pop culture says the Doctor Who and Star Trek mobile games are crossing over. I didn't really hear about what now, because the only thing that I noticed at San Diego Comic Con. Is that there was an interesting thing that happened at one of the booths, and it was at the Stern pinball booth. The John Wick pinball machine was there on the floor, and John Wick himself, Keanu Reeves, played some pinball on as and he's got the stance. I think he actually knows what he's doing. He's got the stance. He's nudging. I don't know if I'd want to go up against Keanu Reeves in pinball here, because he looks like he knows what he's doing. So John Wick himself played the John Wick pinball machine at San Diego Comic Con. That was the one thing that I was like, yes, that's the thing that would be cool at Comic Con. Look at all those people. It's like Dragon Con, but corporate. So we're not going to really talk about Comic Con or any of the stuff there, because that's not the point of this podcast. What I will want to do is I want to follow up on something that we had talked about last week when I talked about Nintendo World Championships NES Edition. And I put on the little thing that's on the side of the screen here for the people that are watching live, update, and it's not a software update. There was no software update. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about something we had mentioned in passing last week, which was when we were talking about what NES games did we pick. And I had picked Pinbot. Rob from Orange Lunch Radio picked the Guardian Legend, as I would expect him to. And I think it was S. Jenner Matt said, well, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out is obviously not in there because, you know, Mike Tyson and Nintendo had that falling out when Mike Tyson had those charges against him. And Punch-Out with Mr. Dream was said to be in there. And so we were like, well, obviously they're not going to put Mike Tyson's Punch-Out in this game because it's Mike Tyson, right? Lo and behold, right there in the middle of the M's, because I went back that night and opened up my version of the game, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out is absolutely there. Right there in the center, you can actually pick not just Punch... I mean, I'm sure Punch-Out with Mr. Dream is also in there. But Mike Tyson's Punch-Out is a something you can pick in Nintendo World Championships NES Edition. Because I think what this did is this listed every single officially licensed cartridge that came out for the NES, which includes the European releases. There was the NES games and the Famicom games, but the NES includes the European side. You could even pick the Miracle Piano Teaching System. I know somebody who has that, the Miracle Piano Teaching System. I don't know if they picked it or not. But, yeah, it's all in here, and in all the licensed titles, like Mickey Safari and Letterland is on here on the same screenshot that I'm showing. So, yes, you can. I think this is the first time Nintendo has referenced Mike Tyson since the falling out. So I wanted to bring that up and kind of correct on the show, because I had said, well, obviously they're not going to have it in it. And I was wrong. There you go. You can clip that saying I was wrong. Anyway, let's move on. So one thing I am unfortunately not wrong about is that tonight or tomorrow, but really, like, you just assume it's tonight, the Xbox 360 marketplace closes. You will no longer be able to purchase games just for the Xbox 360. That the ability to buy Xbox 360 only titles will cease after tonight. And I am mentioning that specifically because Xbox 360 titles that are backwards compatible on Xbox One, you will be able to purchase on an Xbox One, but you would not be able to get them on the Xbox 360. So you have one more night. If you're listening live, if you're listening on the podcast feed, it was a week ago. Sorry. But you have one more night to get any Xbox 360 purchases if you still have an Xbox 360 and wish to play those games. Thankfully, the majority of the Xbox 360 games were on physical media, so that you can still get a used disc and still play them in your Xbox 360. You might not be able to get any patches for them, but the games were still on physical media at the time, the majority of them, so you can play them that way. All right, so let's get to the news that happened this week, and this is kind of a big one. It's one that we've covered before in other areas, in terms of other areas of entertainment, and it is now coming home to roost with video games, and that is the SAG-AFTRA performers. So Screen Actors Guild, and I forget what AFTRA stands for, but it's the actors. SAG-AFTRA went on strike against Hollywood last year, postponed a lot of productions along with the white writer's strike. That's why we don't have the third Spider-Verse movie right now, is because they were supposed to be working during the time that there was strike, and it was supposed to come out by now. But the video game side was largely untouched by that strike. It was just the screen actors and, you know, movies and television. Well, now we're in the video game version. It started this week. The Associated Press reports that Hollywood's video game performers announced that they would go on strike on Thursday, throwing part of the entertainment industry into another work stoppage after talks for a new contract with major game studios broke down over artificial intelligence protections. The strike, the second for video game actors and motion capture performers under the Screen Actors Guild American Federation of Television and Radio Artists. If only I had read the article all the way through instead of just skimming it, it began at 12:01 a.m. Friday. It comes after nearly 2 years of negotiations with gaming giants, including divisions of Activision, Warner Brothers, and Walt Disney, over a new interactive media agreement. SAG-AFTRA negotiators say gains have been made over wages and job safety in the video game contract, but that the two sides remain split over the regulation of generative AI. A spokesman for the video game producers, Audrey Cooling, said that the studios offered AI protections, but SAG-AFTRA's negotiating committee said that the studio's definition of who constitutes a performer is key to understanding the issue of who would be protected. SAG-AFTRA Chief Contracts Officer Ray Rodriguez said at a news conference on Thursday afternoon, quote, "The industry has told us point blank that they do not necessarily consider everyone who is rendering movement performance to be a performer that is covered by the collective bargaining agreement," unquote. He said that some physical performances are being treated as data. Without guardrails, game companies could train AI to replicate an actor's voice or create a digital replica of their likeness without consent or fair compensation, the union said. Rodriguez told reporters, quote, "We strike as a matter of last resort. We have given this process absolutely as much time as we reasonably can. We have exhausted the other possibilities, and that is why we are doing it now," unquote. So the game companies say that this offer extends meaningful AI protections, but they're just not taking it. They say, she said, quote, "We are disappointed the union has chosen to walk away when we are so close to a deal, and we remain prepared to resume negotiations," unquote. Andy Norris, an actor and member of the union's negotiating committee, said that those who do stunt work or creative or creature performances would still be at risk under the game company's offer. They say, quote, "The performers who bring their body of work to these games create a whole variety of characters, and all of that work must be covered. Their proposal would carve out anything that doesn't look and sound identical to me as I sit here when, in truth, on any given week, I am a zombie, I am a soldier, I am a zombie soldier. We cannot and will not accept that a stunt or movement performer giving a full performance on stage next to a voice actor isn't a performer," unquote. The global video game industry generates well over $100 billion in profit annually, according to game market forecaster Newzoo. The people who design and bring those games to life are the driving force behind that success, and SAG-AFTRA said. This is the only part, like, you know, yes, I agree that, like, you know, the performers are a big deal part of it, but with video games, for me, as someone who is a software developer, not in games, but as a software developer, it's really the software developers and the artists, all the artists, including the voice actors, that bring the game to life. Nobody today buys a game just because of the name of the person who provided the voice acting for the main character. People will go watch a movie because of the actor, but people are more likely to buy a game because of a specific designer, which would be analogous to a director. You know, people would be like, "Oh, it's a Sid Meier game. Yes, I'm all about it. Oh, it's a Sakaguchi game. Yes, I'm all about that. It's a Yoshi P game. Yes, but nobody's going to be like, "Oh, Ray Chase is playing the lead character. I'm going to buy the game because it's Ray Chase." No, they're not going to do that. So, it's really all of the artists. And they're the driving force behind the success of the games. Members voted overwhelmingly last year to give leadership the authority to strike. Concerns about how movie studios will use AI help fuels last year's film and television strikes by the union, which lasted 4 months. The last interactive contract, which expired in November of 2022, did not provide protections around AI, but secured a bonus compensation structure for voice actors and performance capture artists after an 11-month strike that began in October 2016. That work stoppage marked the first major labor action from SAG-AFTRA following the merger of Hollywood's two largest actor unions in 2012. The video game agreement covers more than 2,500 off-camera voiceover performers, on-camera motion capture and stunt performers, stunt coordinators, singers, dancers, puppeteers, and background performers, according to the union. Amid the tense interactive negotiations, SAG-AFTRA created a separate contract in February that covered independent and lower-budget video game contracts. The tiered budget independent interactive media agreement contains some of the protections on AI that video game industry titans have rejected. Games signed to an interim interactive media agreement, tiered budget independent interactive agreement, or interim interactive localization agreement, it's lots of I's, are not part of the strike, the union said. So, it's not the entire industry. Unlike the strike that was last year, which was against all of major Hollywood stuff, this is not even against all the contracts, all the everything that's even already in production. We're going to get to that in a second. So one thing, there were a couple things that were interesting. Because this strike was authorized on the morning of San Diego Comic-Con, because part of the strike is you're not supposed to promote struck work, right? It's the same kind of thing that happened in film and television. So video game voice actors are not allowed to promote struck work and work from struck studios. However, because it was the morning of San Diego Comic-Con and there are already contracts in place and people were already there and already had commitments and there was already a schedule, the union actually said it is okay at San Diego Comic-Con only to promote struck work. But Monday is when the picket line shows up for those literally there. Now, if you were a voice actor at any other convention this weekend, then you could not promote struck work. It was literally only San Diego Comic-Con was exempt from speaking about projects that you were on or about to be on. The other thing is, in case you're wondering, if you are a content creator yourself, you're not in SAG-AFTRA, but you play games that have SAG-AFTRA people on it. SAG-AFTRA's official position right now, today, July 28th, 2024, is yes, they still want you to stream and play games. They do not want the consumer to boycott or strike against the industry. However, they do ask that you bring visibility to what's going on with the strike. If you want to be in solidarity, play the game, even if it's a struck work, play the game, play it on stream, enjoy it, and talk about the strike and talk about why the actors are currently striking. That is literally from SAG-AFTRA. That is their direction for people, for consumers who are sympathetic to what they're striking about. Tireclaw says, hopefully they resolve this soon because this will cause some delays in some upcoming games. Fifth Dream says, I did buy one game for an actor, but it was a Japanese anime actress I talked to online. That's different. Like, yes, if I had a friend, like a friend or somebody that, you know, I got to know online, or even if it's kind of a parasocial relationship type of thing, like a streamer relationship, yes, I may get some, you know, I may buy a game that has them in it to support them. But like, if I don't know them, which is, you know, 99.99% of this industry, I don't know, I'm not friends with personally, you know, then, you know, no, I'm not going to buy a game because somebody I've never met is in it, is providing a voice for it. Tireclaw says, they don't plaster the name of the voice actor on the promotion for a video game. They sometimes do, but it's you can tell that's kind of more of a cash grab. You get used to see it all the time in the 90s. Let's talk about, like, gaming history. Remember all those full motion video CD-ROM games that came out in the 90s? Yeah, they would plaster the name of the actor on the front. I think Dennis Hopper did a game that was on CD-ROM. And it was a very bad game. But like, his name was plastered on it because he was kind of the main actor. They did, like, Wing Commander 3 and 4 had full motion video, and it had like a slew of names that were big to us. You know, some big names, you know, like Mark Hamill, and that was on the front. Malcolm McDowell was in it. John Rhys-Davies was in it. Biff from Back to the Future is in it, which is kind of funny because, like, I should know his name, and I don't. But I know him as Biff from Back to the Future, but he actually has, like, a good stand-up career. You know, so they would do it, but it was a lot of times in the 90s when they were like, hey, full motion video, we've got real actors in this. But generally, you don't see, you know, oh, Ashley Birch is playing in Horizon Zero Dawn. You don't see that. So it's a little bit different here in video games than it is in movies, whereas, you know, Ryan Reynolds is in a movie. There's a certain subset of people that are going to be like, I don't care what it is, I'm going to watch it. Not everything is affected right now. So there are struck studios and non-struck studios, as well as games that are still in production and have been in production for a while. They're not struck yet. One of those is Grand Theft Auto 6. This was one of the first ones that everybody was worried about because they don't want Grand Theft Auto 6 to be delayed. It's going to be delayed. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Spoiler alert. Kotaku reports that SAG-AFTRA game actors are currently on strike against some of the biggest companies in the industry over AI, but that won't impact the most anticipated game of 2025, Grand Theft Auto 6. It is one of several in-development projects that is exempt from the labor action. A spokesperson for the publishers involved in the dispute, which includes Rockstar Game parent company Take-Two, told Kotaku in an email, quote, I can confirm Grand Theft Auto 6 is exempt, unquote. That's backed up by a search result in a database of struck projects, which shows members are still allowed to work on the upcoming open world shooter during the strike. According to the spokesperson, Audrey Cooling, any game in development before September of 2023 is also exempt. And so if you actually go to their site and look this up, and I don't have access to the site, but journalists do. On the site, under Grand Theft Auto 6, it has a box that says proceed with caution. Here's what it says, quote, while not struck, this game is produced by a struck company. If you have been engaged under a daily contract for this game, you can show solidarity with your fellow union members by choosing not to sign new contracts on the game. However, you may work the game and will not be disciplined for doing so. Review our FAQs for additional information. So what they're talking about being disciplined for doing so is if you cross a picket line, you will never work for that union. If you cross the picket line, there are people who have done so. And then when the strike is over, they have learned that they have been blacklisted from the union. They're never getting a job that is a union job again, which is going to be the major big budget projects. You're not going to be on them. So while it may sound like it's a way to make a name for yourself, you make a name for yourself, great. And then the union's not going to let you in the union. And so you're never going to have those jobs again. Game performers, which includes voice actors, motion capture artists, and others who use recorded work is used during production, went on strike after negotiations that lasted more than a year broke down over the issue of AI protections. While the companies, including Epic Games, EA, and Activision, say they have offered meaningful concessions on the use of generative AI, SAG-AFTRA maintains that the current proposals fall short of protecting some of their performances from being copied and duplicated using AI without disclosure or pay. So, when SAG-AFTRA game actors last went on strike in 2016, it lasted for nearly a year, with some members turning down high-profile roles in upcoming games like Ashley Burch's ongoing performance in Life is Strange, due to the work stoppage. While the strike will impact new games that recently went into production or were planning to begin development later this year, many existing ones seem likely they'll be able to continue as scheduled. That's also the case for live service games, which seemingly includes Fortnite and Apex Legends. However, if the strike lasts more than 60 days, it will, ongoing performance work on these games by SAG-AFTRA members would also come to a halt. Depending on how long it lasts, companies might either turn to scab labor to replace existing performers, as Life is Strange did, or be forced to delay future content and projects. Tireclaw says, Grand Theft Auto 6 has been worked on for years, and all the voice actor was done in advance before they do all the gameplay. That is incorrect. That is 100% incorrect, and I know this because I hosted a panel with the performance actors from Red Dead Redemption 2, also by Rockstar Games. And no, they were not all done before any gameplay is done. I guarantee you. So that don't, no, they were still, like, the game was, you know, a couple months out and they were still doing some pickup stuff. So don't go thinking that they do all that before the game even starts, because no, they don't, because the script changes while they're developing the game. So Questbuster says, interestingly, one of the voice actors for Genshin Impact streams the game on Twitch, but for the duration of the strike, he has told his viewers that he'll need to stream something else because that would be seen as crossing the picket line. Yeah, so, like, content creators, SAG-AFTRA has said, like, I could stream Genshin Impact, and I could stream even as the character that of that person, whoever you're talking about. And so they're not calling on a boycott from consumers. But if you do stream the game, if you want to show solidarity, you can talk about the strike. You can say why the strike is important, and you can give that kind of context. But I can understand that the person who is the actual voice actor, they cannot promote struck work. This is going to be interesting at Dragon Con, because Dragon Con last year navigated the film and television strike, which was very interesting. And now that's the video game strike. And Baldur's Gate 3 is there's a lot of Baldur's Gate 3 voice actors that are coming to Dragon Con. Now, I don't know if Larian Studios is one of the struck companies. I don't know if Baldur's Gate 3 is one of the struck products. I mean, it's already done. Like, they're not making any more of it. But so there's no active contracts. But I don't know if Larian Studios is one of the struck companies that they're not going to be able to talk about. That's why this is kind of an interesting, you know, time for this, because there's a lot more studios out there that do games than there are movies. Because in the movie, in the film and movie side, I don't know if you remember, but A24 Studios, which does like a lot of the lower budget independent stuff, that's where Everything Everywhere All at Once came from. It was from A24. They were not struck. They were in production because they actually did negotiate successfully with SAG-AFTRA and the writers, and they went back to work while all the major Hollywood studios were still renegotiating and all that stuff. So, but that's kind of lost in all of this, is that A24 kind of got out of the strike early because they negotiated the correct thing. And so there's probably companies that have done that. And it, like, even this talks about like indie studios are exempt. This is all for AAA games. So it's going to be interesting for people who do work conventions, because we are in the middle of convention season. A lot of voice actors, they go do conventions, and it's how they make a lot of their money, is at these conventions. And, you know, when it's the film and television industry, it's pretty easy because everybody's doing it. But now it's like some voice actors can promote their stuff and some voice actors can't. Solidarity with them. I do believe that, you know, we do need protections around AI. AI is already coming and taking jobs. And some people will say that that's for the betterment of the industry. I mean, and you know, there's like, let me give you the contrarian view, the view that I don't agree with, because I like having humans make my art. So my position is I like humans making my art. If a piece of dialogue was not important enough for a human to write, it's not important enough for me to read or consume. That's where I'm at right now. But the budgets for video games are skyrocketing. So this is the corporate view. This is the view of the corporations that are pro-AI. The budgets for video game are skyrocketing. And as consumers, we are demanding more and more of our AAA titles. Using generative AI instead of paying a whole bunch of humans will lower the budgets for AAA games. It will get your AAA games out quicker, and it will give them more profit because they're not going to lower the price. Are you kidding me? They're still going to be $70 games. But instead of having a $70 game that had a, $900 million budget, maybe it'll have a $500 million budget instead, because they use generative AI instead of a whole bunch of humans for a lot of the grunt work. That's their view on this. Instead of paying a whole bunch of stunt performers to do zombie walks, they can hire one or two stunt performers to do zombie walks and use AI to generate all the other zombie walks based on their performance. That's what the studios want. It's a cost-cutting measure for them, and it allows for games to be made quicker, AAA games specifically, to be made quicker on a lower budget, and they can still sell them for $70. Like, the price ain't going down. The price is not going down. They're not going to lower the price, but they get more, but you get AAA games more often as a consumer, and they are able to get a better profit. So that's the corporate side, where that's why they do want to be able to use generative AI based on people's performance, because people are expensive. And generative AI right now is not. Now, I've been having to learn more about generative AI and what I do, which is, software development not involved with games. And I can still tell you, in July of 2024, generative AI ain't where it needs to be yet. But that doesn't mean it's not going to get there. At least in the line of work I do, it is not ready for prime time right now. But it is more ready for prime time now than it was 6 months ago, which means it's going to be even more ready in 6 months. But it's still, we can still tell that a human didn't do what the generative AI is spitting out. Is that going to be the case forever? I don't know. People who love generative AI say it's already not the case, but it is. But it might not be the case in 6 months. The Breakman asks, what are the chances the price is going up? Oh, they're going to go up. They're absolutely going to go up. Have you seen inflation? like, the cost of hiring people is going up. And so the cost of the like, I've actually gone through this exercise before where I went to an inflation calculator. Games are actually cheaper now than they were 20 years ago. Because games were $50 20 years ago, which like equates to like 80 something dollars today. But games are only $70 today. So they're actually cheaper today than they were 20 years ago. It's just the number is greater. Questmaster says we need to appease the shareholders. The line needs to keep going up. So how do we do it? And that's one of the ways to do it. That's one of the ways a lot of people do it. Tireclaw says if they make games quickly, hopefully they get testers for it because who knows how buggy they will be. So once again, there's always testers. Like if you actually believe that there are no QA departments in any software development house, especially ones that make consumer products, you are naive. Like I know it feels like there aren't QA. I know it feels like that and that feels true. Unfortunately, the facts don't care about your feelings. There are QA departments and they're very good. Yes, I know. We're going to all make fun of Bethesda games, right? Bethesda has a QA department and they found all that stuff. All that stuff that you're like, how did they not find it? Oh, they did. It wasn't the testers that was the problem. It was the managers who decided that it wasn't a big enough problem to delay the game. But there is also generative AI doing testing. There are companies that are trying to replace QA testers with generative AI who test your software for you so you don't have to pay the testers. Speaking of people, there was one other story I want to talk about because, I guess we have to talk about layoffs every single week. GameSpot reports that the indie game publisher Humble Games has reportedly laid off its entire staff, which consists of 36 people. However, the company says it's not shutting down, but is instead restructuring our operations. According to a now former Humble Games senior quality assurance analyst, so QA, the entire team was let go. Another employee, who was a producer, also confirmed he was being made laid off. The publisher previously underwent two rounds of layoffs, first in April of 2022 and then in November of 2023. In a statement shared with GameSpot, Humble Games confirmed that Humble Bundle will have no impact on its operations. Quote, additionally, ongoing and upcoming games from Humble Games will still move ahead and be published by the company, unquote. So Humble Games is the publisher of many notable indie games, including Stray Gods, Bo, Path of the Teal Lotus, Chinatown Detective Agency, Eichenfell, Unpacking, Slay the Spire, and Midnight Fight Express, just to name a few. Humble Games is the separate publishing arm of digital storefront Humble Bundle. Both companies are owned by Ziff Davis, but operate as separate entities. Earlier this year, Ziff-owned IGN Entertainment also bought video game websites Eurogamer, Rock Paper Shotgun, VG247, GameIndustry.biz, and Dicebreaker from Gamer Network. So layoffs in the video game industry continue to persist in 2024, with the most recent ones including Mortal Kombat developer NetherRealm, which laid off its mobile team. S. Jaron and Matt talking about the previous stuff about QA, because one of the things, if you notice, it was a QA person they talked to. Even if the developer does not have a QA of their own, if they are going through a publisher, one of the things that these publishers like Humble Games offered was they offered QA services. And so they would help test your game and test it on all the platforms that you're releasing it on. That is one of the services a publisher will provide to you. S. Jaron and Matt says, many of the bugs are widely known when the game is released. They just want to push it out and get things done in early patches. The Breakman says, I guess, I mean, how will this affect the consumer? If they change to AI, I know prices will be going up, but will they still be going up more without AI? Yeah, the prices are going to go up. They're going to find a way because the value of something in capitalism is a combination of what someone is willing to sell it at and what someone else is willing to buy it at. If they say, we're going to raise prices to $80 and people still buy it, that is what the value is. Because now both sides have agreed that $80 is the accepted value for a AAA game. Because people, when they raise prices up to $70, us on this podcast were like, well, that sucks. This is terrible, blah, blah, blah. It's still sold just fine. So the society at large has said that we value AAA games at $70. Tiger Claw says AI will soon replace all jobs, and not just on the creative side, but normal type jobs. And no, it can't. Now, I will say Fifth Dream says AI can't do labor. It actually can. Because the auto industry has been using AI labor for a long time. We just didn't call it AI. So robots do exist. Like, cars are now built by robots. They're not built by a team of humans anymore. And they haven't been for decades. What generative AI will soon be able to do is be able to take over some of the oversight as well, and maybe even do some of the design work that the robots are doing. Do I think all jobs are going to be taken away by AI and robots? No. But the joke that I always kind of said was that, you know, in sci-fi and science fiction, I was always told, hey, you know, robots are soon going to take over all the menial jobs so we can all sit back and create art. And it turns out it's the other way around. All the robots are taking over the creative jobs, like art, so we can go back out and work in the mines, because AI can't work in the mines. AI can't do manual labor. So if the robots can come in and do the creative stuff, then that frees us up to be able to go work for the trash company so I can, you know, get my trash taken out. The Breakman says robots have been in disguise this entire time. They have been. They have been. S.J.R.Matt says, I think it before games hit $80, they'll start by nickel and diming things with DLC and paid sections of the game, which is happening already. I mean, I played a game that had New Game Plus locked behind DLC. And really, like, what DLC was, the stuff that used to be in the game are now DLC. You know, we used to get cheat codes in the game. Now you can buy DLC that gives you the cheat. You don't need to know a code. You just need, you know, $1.99. Fifth Dream says, but the actions of the robots that build cars are programmed, right? They don't make any decisions on anything. That's where they're going next, is that yes. And in fact, sometimes the robots do make decisions because they are trained. Like, look at anything that Boston Robotics is doing, with their, you know, with the creepy robots that can jump and stuff like that. They are making decisions. They're learning, from the environment. That's what a neural network does. And they make decisions on their own. And so they have, like, a lot of the robots in car factories do have cameras and are analyzing the camera data so they can make decisions on how to do things. And then once we introduce the generative AI for the creative side, for the side that's doing the CAD drawings or something, that's designing things, now instead of humans generating something, the AI can generate something that is wind, you know, look at the drag coefficient and probably do it a way quicker than a human would. So that is where, like, people want to take this. Is that where it's actually going to go? I don't know. That is where companies out there want to take this, is kind of get the human element, because humans are fallible. And humans can make mistakes. Because humans can forget a calculation or two. Computers don't. Questor says there are articles talking about dog bots learning to navigate different terrain already. And those are a few years old. Yeah, like, you pull up anything from Boston Dynamics, which is the robotics company that makes those dog bots, and, like, how they're, like, navigating obstacle courses they've never seen in their life, and they navigate it. Yeah, they're able to make decisions. So we are going to take a quick music break, and then, you know what? Here's the deal. I'm going to open up our Discord server. Our Discord server is always open. Fognetwork.com/Discord. But if you want to talk about anything going on in the gaming industry, then hop into the Green Room voice chat channel, because we actually have some time to take some calls tonight. So we're going to take a quick music break and then hop in there, and maybe we'll talk about some stuff. And then I will tell you about what's going to be happening tonight in lieu of Orange Lounge Radio once we get some confirmation about what's going to be happening. But there is not going to be an Orange Lounge Radio tonight due to Jamie being at California Extreme and hopefully playing a lot of Elton John pinball and among other things going on there. And Loki is sick tonight. So no Orange Lounge Radio live tonight, but that does not mean Rob Roberts is not going to be here. So we'll also be talking to him. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here in the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
This is Crystal1724, welcoming you back to the Bobby Blackwell Show, the only place that consistently and effectively owns me every time I call in.
That's right. That's the first bumper ever played on this show. So I was going to play that last week, but I went over last week because I was talking all about Southern Fried Gaming Expo and things like that. And yeah, but that was the first bumper ever played here on July 24th, 2005, episode one. That was the bumper that came out of the music break from that show. Chris Phil, he's doing well, got a wife, got kids. I still hear from him on the bad side on social media every once in a while when he posts. But yeah, so that was a blast from the past that I usually play on the tentpole episodes, and I didn't get to play it last week, so you get to hear it tonight. So I am going to be opening up the green room for just a little bit. There is no Orange Lounge Radio tonight. We will be talking to Rob, though. So if you want to join in, talk about anything going on in the gaming industry, if you want to talk about the AI stuff or what we could or what we should or should not be doing with the generative AI technology, because there are good things we could be doing with it. It's just in this capitalist world, we're not going to do those. That's not what the people with the money want. Head on over to our Discord server, vognetwork.com/Discord. And go over to the Green Room voice chat channel, and then I will be able to see you and pull you in. Questbuster says, for a bit of positive news about AI, I like seeing articles where they can help people, like giving a House representative or voice back. And there's also stuff about, you know, helping people who are disabled or need that type of assistance. I wish that was the type of stuff we were working on. Unfortunately, in our capitalist world, it's really, you know, there's more incentive, there's more financial incentive to kind of eliminate the jobs of these pesky humans who demand a living wage, because the living wage is higher now than it was just 2 or 3 years ago. And so it's in capitalism's best interest to eliminate those. And that's why that's where all the Gen AI stuff is going, is to eliminate those positions and not necessarily help people who actually need the help. In capitalism, the people who need the help the most are the business owners, and it's their money and their investment, and they need to protect those investments, those who matter most. And I would love to see more and more companies use a lot of this neural network and the generative AI technology that that's rapidly going bigger and bigger, to do things that actually do help the regular person, instead of just helping the business owner and helping the shareholder. So Tiger Claw says, it's these giant corporations that only care about the money more than the people. They'd rather get all that money and not pay the humans. And to an extent, yes. And I will tell you this in terms of how you should be an employee, because I actually lived this. And no company, small or large, is going to be loyal to you. Period. And there are companies that will preach loyalty to you and how you should be loyal and all this stuff. They're not going to be loyal to you, because the minute they can get rid of you, they will. And in many states here in the United States, they can get rid of you for whatever reason they want. So you don't need to be loyal to a company. And in fact, I wasn't. I actually have a new job. I didn't really talk about it much on here, but I was with my company for over 10 years. I got a new job about a month ago. I started a new position at a completely different company. And, you know, everybody thought I wouldn't ever leave that last company. But at some point, I had to make a decision for me. That last place that I was at, it was the great place, best place I ever worked. Greatest place I ever worked. But that place kind of ended and became something else about 2 years ago. And so eventually it was time for me to go find somewhere else. And where I'm at now will probably not be a better work environment than the one I had at my last company 3 or 4 years ago. It's probably not going to be a better work environment, but it's a better work environment than what my company is right now, or my old company is right now. And they do pay me better. So that's good. And Rob Roberts says, I left a job of 14 years because I picked up intel that I was being outsourced, so I left him on the high and dry before I could train my replacement, and I do not care. I at least did knowledge transfer. But I'm pretty sure there's, like, I don't want to get too much into it, because I don't actually know that much that's going on. But I actually told them, don't be loyal to this company. Now, the best that a company, if you want to assume noble intent, which was a value at my last company that I actually do really like, I like to assume noble intent with people, which is really weird being a, you know, podcaster, whatever, where I'm supposed to assume malicious intent because that drives clicks. But if you assume noble intent, the best thing that a company can do is respect you. And in that, if they do respect you, then you would respect them back. Now, what I mean by that is I said that, yes, I left my job after 10 years, but I did so very respectfully. I gave them notice. I fully did a knowledge transfer to the people that were still there. And we left on very good terms because that company had respected me for 10 years. And so I did not want to leave them high and dry. And, you know, but if the company doesn't respect you, then yeah. Because you know what? They'd leave you high and dry in an instant. And I know my last company, probably if they had to, they would leave me high and dry in an instant. And there was no guarantee that I would get any severance or anything like that, despite being there for 10 years. So the best thing you can do is hope that the company respects you enough as a person that then they can hope that you respect them back. That's my philosophy on it. So don't be loyal, but if they're respecting you, respect them back. And Questmaster says, don't burn bridges if you can't help it. Yes, now I did not burn any bridge or anything, and I believe the CEO of my old company listens to this podcast, so he's going to hear this, and I was told that no bridge was burned, and I'm not planning on burning any bridges here. S. Turnerman says, I tell temps this advice all the time. If you have a better offer elsewhere, don't wait and don't assume there will be loyalty from the corporation. Yes, exactly. You know, but if you feel that you were respected while here, yes, there's going to be better offers elsewhere. But if you feel like you're respected here, then be respectful on your way out. YYR says, in other disappointments this week, Dave & Buster's has a new Raw Thrills game, NBA Superstars. It looks and plays almost exactly like NBA Jam, but there's no account system or logging in, so you can't beat all the teams and see your initials in huge letters. So sad. You know what? I think I actually saw that because, funny enough, I don't know if this is ironic or coincidence. I want to say this is a coincidence. And not ironic. So don't Alanis Morissette me. I was actually at a Dave & Buster's today. The Stream Atlanta meetup group, which is a Twitch meetup group, was actually today. The meetup was today. Their summer event was today at a Dave & Buster's. And I didn't go into the game room all that much because the restrooms were there. So I walked through the game room. And I think I remember seeing NBA Superstars. I'm like, huh, that looks like NBA Jam. Anyway, I'm going to go back to where I was going. So I think I actually saw it for like half a second, but I didn't stand and look at it. And I don't play games at Dave & Buster's because they're not the type of games I want to play. I'd rather play games at like a round one if I'm going to be at a place like that, or a pinball arcade, which we have several around in here in Atlanta. We are very fortunate here in Atlanta to have several places that are kind of like old school pinball arcade arcades around here. So that's coincidentally, I was in a Dave & Buster's today, and then YYR brings up Dave & Buster's. So I think that's a coincidence. I don't think that's ironic. That's coincidence. HDI Andrew in chat talking about the loyalty is that CEOs don't expect loyalty from the corporation, which is why they have their own contracts and parachute clauses. But I see it a lot of times, like especially like in retail. And that's why I bring this up, like, because I know some people that are retail and they are like fiercely loyal of their retail brand. And I'm like, you work in a retail store. They are not going to be loyal to you. But they expect you to be loyal to them. And I've got some friends that, you know, I love my friends to death. They're great. But like every time I see them, they're wearing a hat of the place they work at, of the retail store that they work at. And I'm like, you don't have to wear that out. You don't need to show that company loyalty like that. Tireclaw say, modern arcades, I bet, cost a dollar more to play. Yes, that is the downside of the modern arcades, especially like the pinball. Now, the one of the places that I went to near me that has the card system, but it is still like one credit is 25 cents. They don't do anything like weird like Dave and Buster's, where it's like it's a weird number and you don't know actually how much it is. Some of the pinball machines are 75 cents per play. Some of them are 3 credits. So every once in a while, you'll find one that's like maybe 50 cents. So, but yeah, a dollar is pretty much what you got. However, one of the arcades, one of the pinball arcades around here that I went to, they actually did something that I actually really like, because they use the card system, right? And so you go to a kiosk and you load your card. And you could either buy so many credits, or you could pay a flat fee for 30 minutes. And you could play all you wanted for that 30 minutes. And that I thought was great, because for some people who are maybe really good at pinball, that's not a good deal. It's cheaper to buy the credits because you're going to be playing pinball, each pinball machine, for like 5 minutes at a time. You don't need $10 worth of credits for 30 minutes of playtime. But if you suck at pinball and your ball drains straight down the middle a lot, then 30 minutes might be a better deal. You'd get to play all the pinball machines that are there at least once and drain on all of them. And that's cheaper than paying the $1 for each one. So YYR says, believe it or not, Dave and Buster's chip system is actually still almost based on 25 cents per one chip, but I think you get less if you buy the least and way more if you buy the most. And HGI Andrew says, the Breakman is saying, Bobby is talking about me playing pinball. Yes, well, I'm also talking about me, straight down the middle, because I haven't learned how to nudge yet. I really should learn how to like properly nudge a pinball machine, because that's actually how you're supposed to play it. Like if you do it too much, you tilt, but not tilting. If you're not tilting, you're not trying. That's what I have learned. Darkle says, what happens if you're still playing and 30 minutes past? Does it stop working or after you lose all 5 balls? Well, modern pinball is 3 balls, not 5. You're thinking the 70s games have 5, but that's when you can scan your card. So really, if to get the best out of it, you scan your card on your last game at 29 minutes and 58 seconds, and you get to play the full game. That's how it works. It's great. Like it's honestly pretty great. Like I like that system. Rob Roberts does want people to know that if you do want to have loyalty to a brand, consider Voice of Geeks Network having loyalty and wear our merchandise everywhere. That being said, you don't work here. So, you know, but yes, please be loyal to us at Falk. Esther Matt says, there was a bar that I used to go to in New York City where it was themed like the stock market, except the beers on tap were the stocks. Occasionally, there would be a market crash and beers on tap would be randomly cheaper. Kept people at the bar waiting for a market crash. It was such a great idea. Sadly, that bar is gone now. Aw. Usually, coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork is Orange Lounge Radio, but they are not going to be here. But we are still going to talk to Rob Roberts and see what's going to be going on tonight. See here on Voice of Geeks Network. So we're going to check in with them. Sacramento, are you there?
Hi, yes, I'm here, Bobby. How are you?
I am doing well. So no OLR tonight. There's people having fun at California Extreme and people not having fun at home.
It's just a bummer how things worked out, because we've been kind of a every other week show for a month or two now. It's not intended to be that way, but life happens. What can you do? Yeah, Jamie's been out at California Extreme, which obviously we were kind of prepared for that. What we were not prepared for was that, unfortunately, Loki got pretty sick, as I was sick a couple weeks ago. So, you know, something's going around. It sucks. Yeah. What can you do? But for those of you that are here live, I'll still be going live. We'll do a little bit of a no LR. I figured, let's do something a little different. So a game we've been talking about a lot on the show and a lot of shows been talking about is No Man's Sky. And y'all know I love that game. And recently it got an update called the World's Update. Now, I have yet to actually play this update. Mm. So I thought it might be fun to kind of go in there and experience it a little bit together. What I'm going to do is I'm going to start a brand new game. I'm not going to do the expedition. I'm going to do a new game because I'm going to be playing on PlayStation 5, which I don't usually play the game on. So we're going to do a little bit of trophy grinding / starting up a new game and kind of showing you how hard it is to pick up a new game in No Man's Sky right now, especially for those of you that are coming back from a big break. So I thought that might be useful. And of course, I'll be taking questions from chat if you want to talk about something else, talk about what's going on in the news this week or what have you. Happy to do that.
And there is no voice acting in No Man's Sky, so it's not like we're promoting a struck work.
There are voices in it, but I'm not sure where they come from. Because like when you scan things, you know, units received, like you do.
Right.
I don't know if it's even computer generated potentially, but there's very minimal voice acting in it.
Yeah.
And even if it was captured, it was captured 8 years ago. So
yeah.
it's not really going to be impacted by what's going on now. They don't put voice acting in their patches that they do.
Yeah. So, because you might not understand what the other character is saying, depending on what language they're speaking. So, and it's all procedure. It's all generative AI. It's all procedurally generated, all of it. So,
yes, one of the ways I would encourage developers to use AI, maybe not so much replacing artistic performances,
right?
But you know, using it to innovate gameplay experience, I think is a much better use of it.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to it. I hadn't booted No Man's Sky up in a while. I got turned off by the combat updates for a little bit, so I took a little bit of a break. But you know, I'll be there and checking it out. And maybe I'll join you at some point. Not tonight, but maybe we can do
that'd
a stream where I join you.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
All right. So Rob Roberts is coming, and that's here. That's on the VOG Network channel. That's
we're going to do it here on this channel just because you guys are turned up here. We're still going to do participation. If you guys have questions, chat, all that. Yeah, we're not raiding me or anything like that. We're actually going to do it here on this channel.
Yep.
So stay tuned as always. We'll go right to that.
All right. So Rob Roberts checking out the world's part one of No Man's Sky is coming up next. Thanks so much, Rob.
Thanks as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me for the podcast portion of tonight. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Come join us. Interact with the show directly. I am also on social media at Bobby Blackwolf or at BobbyBlackwolf.com on Blue Sky. Or you can find us on our Discord server, VOGNetwork.com/Discord. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet, but we would not be able to make any of this happen without the people who go above and beyond that help us kind of, you know, just keep the lights on, stuff like that. We don't make that much money off of this. You being here is really all we ask, but thank you so much to YYR for cheering 123 bits saying, I feel like somebody ought to do this. Well, thank you so much for the cheer. And then, Safe Death Go is it followed earlier tonight. Thank you so much for that. So thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it. And I will see you next Sunday night. And stay tuned for Rob Roberts playing some No Man's Sky here on VOG Network. We're actually playing a game on this channel. We don't normally play games on this channel. We're actually going to play a game on this channel. See ya. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.